Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco. Coming up, a new knife from the James brand, and I dig it. State of the collection, we're going to take a look at a new G10 fruit knife. Who made that one? And then we look at hollow ground EDC knives. Hollow grind is probably my favorite to cut with, but also it's my favorite to look at. And we know how important that is to me. So before we get down to there, we're going to talk about my pockets and what I've got in them. And I would love for you to call the listener line and let me know what you're carrying. 724-466-4487, or leave a comment below. And also while you're there, like and subscribe. I mean, why not? All right, so pocket check. What are you carrying? I'll tell you what I'm carrying while you're typing. I have the classic but new Hinderer XM18 Warncliffe. This is a GP Knives. This is a DLT Trading exclusive with the no choil blade here. I really, really dig this knife. It's my only Hinderer with the tri-way pivot, and you can see that it's demarcated right there on the flipper tab. That's what that symbol of those three things mean. And the action on this thing is fantastic. I left it on the bearings. You know, it came loaded with bearings in the pivot, but I chose to leave them in there. You can take them out. You can put in phosphor bronze washers. You can put in the nylon washers. I've never felt the need. I really like it on this action. And I am suspicious as to whether changing out those pivot mechanisms change the tolerances at all. And if it gets more wobbly or whatever, anecdotally, I've heard the action changes substantially and the lockup changes a little. Now, is that true? Let me know. I don't know. You're like, Bob, why don't you just take the damn thing apart and try it yourself? And you know what? Maybe I will and report back. But for today, I've got the XM18. And just by the way, I dropped this on the tip when I first got it and broke the tip off. Sent it to Jared Neve. He rescued the tip and gave it a really nice, nice sharp edge. It is a bit wedge-like. It is a bit axe-like. But it's still a sharp knife and a pretty good cutter. And that tip is incredible for all sorts of these kind of cuts where you're pulling like utility knife cuts. Really, really good for that. So this is an excellent knife, and that 20 CV steel or M390 steel can really take it. You know, you do pull cuts with that tip, and on some softer knives, you start to see it wear down the edge, and you start to see it change the shape and the profile of the blade after a while. And I haven't with this yet. So it is a beauty. Next up in my left pocket, just in case I have to do a small cutting chore and look civilized, I have this white smooth bone Barlow by Rough Rider in my pocket. Rough Rider uses 440A steel, and it's suspiciously shiny. I know it's like very polished, and ordinarily that makes me suspicious about the quality of a knife if it's too polished. You know, if it's not too polished and costing $800, I get suspicious. But I've had so many of these Rough Riders, and they do really cut very well, and that 440A steel keeps an edge reasonably well, and that is with the caveat. I haven't done hard work with these things. So they are imminently collectible. They are great to look at, and I do love the smooth white bone that they used here. Rough Riders are great entry-level slip joints if you're interested, but you want to get your feet wet, but you're not sure what pattern you'd like to invest your money in on a finer slip joint. You can get all sorts of different models, Rough Riders, the classic patterns in different handle materials and such. So if you're interested in dipping your feet in slip joints, but you don't want to spend a whole lot of money at first, check out Rough Rider and see what you like. And then, you know, give it away if it's not your thing, because they cost, you know, $12. So it's not going to put you out too much. All right. So the mini Barlow in my left pocket, and then in the waistband, as usual recently, I have the Hogtooth Knives EDC Tanto. Such a great sheath. Also with that concealed concept. Discrete carry concepts clip on it. that clips right to the pocket or right to the seam of your waistband and just offers excellent retention, easy to get on and off. But this is the star of the show. That beautiful maroon handle, that is layered G10. It's maroon G10 layered with a black, with black layers of sort of a rubberized material. And you have a very subtle grippiness on it, very subtle. And actually, that was one of the things when these were on offer, Matt Chase of Hawktooth Knives had two to offer me, and I chose between them. And I really wanted this for the color, but I was concerned that the rubberized portion of the grip would hang up on my clothes and such. And he assured me it was a very subtle effect, and he's right. But if your hands are wet, actually, I haven't even experimented with this. But getting my hands wet, I imagine this is gonna hold fast in my hand, not just because of the great ergonomics and the shape of this handle, but because of that rubberized feel. We're gonna take a look at this knife later. This is on my list for hollow ground blades. Here's a little bit of anecdotal evidence, yeah, as to how great this knife is and how effective the hollow grind is. Last week we were doing a fire pit, and I was going between this and the Finch Harvester. And I had a third knife, and now I don't remember what it was. Oh, my big Trailmaster. And I was feather sticking with those three. And the Trailmaster is good, but it's big and heavy, and I couldn't control it and not just shave the curl off altogether. I wanted the curls to remain on the stick or on the piece of wood. And then I tried the Harvester. I thought that would be the best because it's fully flat ground and very thin. And I thought it would just make great curls. And I got to say, the wood was just hard enough that I started to feel like, the Harvester, it's a robust folder, but am I going to want to horse this through wood right now? And then I pulled this thing out, and it was perfect. This was perfect. Okay, so I bought this Hogtooth EDC Tanto as a, you know, in the waistband defensive thing. But really, it's a fantastic utility knife, and it made beautiful curls on this piece of kindling. And that's what started the fire. So this knife, I wasn't expecting such performance, but it's super sharp and it's hollow ground. And yeah, it just shaved it off like butter, shaved these little curls like butter. It was awesome. And then I lit it with a Bic. I think that's probably a step I have to take now, is to get a ferro rod or something and start lighting it the old fashioned way if I'm going to do this. So that's what I had today in my pocket, the Hinderer XM18 Warncliffe DLT exclusive, no choil. I had the Hogtooth Tanto EDC and the Rough Rider Mini Barlow. Three knives that I love. I mean, I guess I love them all. So what were you carrying today? Let me know. Leave a comment below and let me know. So just wanted to let you know also that we're on Patreon. You can check us out there. And when you join us on Patreon, you do get exclusive interview extras. So the Sunday interview show, if you like that show, that's sort of our flagship. That is our flagship show. If you like that one and you like those interviews, get on Patreon and support us there, and you'll get extras from those interviews. We always roll about, I don't know, 10 to 20 minutes extra interview stuff that I don't maybe want to mention in the main interview or ask in the main interview. And we get some pretty good candid stuff. So check it out. Check us out on Patreon. Quickest way to get there is thenifejunkie.com/Patreon, like you see right there under that smiling face. That's thenifejunkie.com/Patreon.
Have a knife you want featured or reviewed? Call the Knife Junkies 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487 and let us know. You're listening to the Knife Junkie podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
So Hoag Knives' answer to the Benchmade bug out. The Deca, beautiful knife. They came out with it, one generation ago. So I guess that's 3 years ago they came out with the Deca, and it was in direct competition with the Benchmade Bugout due to size, materials, and action. This is a super light knife. Comes with a clip point, or this really cool Warncliffe that you're looking at right here. Beautiful milled G-mascus. Handle scales, G-mascus is different layers of G10. And then when it's milled, it creates the swirly patterns that are reminiscent of Damascus steel. But they have come out with the Gen 2, and this is a streamlining of it. Really what they did is reduce a lot of hardware by six screws. They eliminated 6 screws from the design, made it a little bit less complex to break down and put back together. They also gave it a deep carry pocket clip and a lighter overall. It's lighter by 0.09 ounces, which when you're already starting with a super light knife actually makes a difference. I love these exploded views of the knife. It's pretty cool. So as you can see from here, the one way they maintain the lightness of this knife is that they have 2 G10 handle scales, you know, on the top and the bottom. And then you can see the only liners they have are metal liners on either side of the pivot to accommodate the able lock, the ambidextrous bar lock enhanced that Hoag uses. You can read that as axis lock. It's their axis lock. So you need some metal material in there right around the pivot, but then they leave the rest without it, which I appreciate because it makes it light. But another thing I appreciate, that unlike the Spyderco Military, even though there's no metal liners down at the tail end, down at the pommel end, they have still put, you know, embedded metal cuffs in there, threaded metal cuffs to take the pocket clips. You don't have to wear it tip down. So I appreciate that, Hoag. Thank you, Spyderco. I'm betting you have that sort of technology and that sort of engineering prowess that you could start doing that on the military. I know you don't have to because people buy it anyway, but I bet people would buy it more if they had that option. So yeah, look at that. Look at that. Little metal threaded cuffs could make such a difference with the military. But anyway, this is about the DECA. Take a look for it. That's the DECA Gen 2. It's lighter. It's easier to take down. And, it's a beautiful streamlined folder that can sit deeper in your pocket now. The Hoag DECA. I do not have one, I have to say, but, if/when I get one, it will definitely be that super cool Warncliffe design. All right. Next up is the James brand, knife that a company that I love to mention because they are a lifestyle knife brand. You know, they come from the world of Nike sneakers, you know, with high design, high product design, and started their James brand. So they have a bunch of knives. They have other lifestyle EDC products, and they have been just doing cool and interesting stuff kind of in a slightly different realm than the one I pay attention to all the time. And here, this is a new knife that they have that is a collaboration with a climber, a professional climber, Savannah Cummins. It's called the Redstone, presumably named after a mountain, I think. Isn't the Redstone a mountain? I don't know, maybe not. But it's a beautiful looking knife. It's got kind of a playful aesthetic. You've got a very interesting construction style. The frame, the black is, you know, how we see it here is the black part. Is a piece of folded over steel. So it's kind of integral in that fashion. And then it's got their sort of axis lock built into it. And then atop that folded over piece of metal frame, you can have various combinations of G10. Here we see this coral and teal combination, which I think is, you know, it's somewhat appealing, but you can also get it in black and black, and you can get it in different colors. It's cheerful. It's bright. It's non-threatening. It's got a 2.5-inch blade or 2.6-inch blade and a deep carry wire pocket clip. This is a, and also if you're not looking, it's got a sort of their rounded triangular opening hole. Now to me, this is, I like this one too. This is their black version with the green anodized, lock pole. And if you look down from that, the lower picture, you can see how the frame is folded over there and how the G10 sits in two different areas of the blade. It looks like it would be very comfortable and it looks pretty stylish. Again, this is a James brand blade here. Two little sets of jimping, one at the thumb ramp and then one further up, presumably for your forefinger in a utility cut. I think it's cool. I like it. I've warmed up to James brand. And when I actually just look at their knives, they're cool. They're cool. And from what I've heard, very well built. So, well, there it is. The Redstone Folder, collaboration with Savannah Cummins, professional climber. Still to come on the Knife Junkie Podcast, we're going to take a look at 2 new knives, one that I made, and then some Hollow Ground EDC knives. Love the hollow ground knives. Stick around. Check out which ones I show off.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
So you do know recently, if you tune in here, that I've been on a little Civivi kick. I just come around when I come around, and I'm into Civivi right now, a couple of years after everyone else, but I really think the brand is interesting and they're really fun to play with. I hate to put it that way. They have a toy-like feel, because the action is so good, but they are very, very capable tools. So, let me show this one off. This is a new one for me. Came out 2 years ago, I believe, at this point. This is the, Dylan Mallory designed Hadros. And it is a Warncliffe hollow ground, really thinly hollow ground. That's a little foreshadowing to our later our conversation coming up later. Very hollow ground. Look at this tip. I mean, this tip was born to break, at least in my hands. But I haven't broken it yet, knock on wood. There happens to be some right here. But I am fearing for that. Luckily, though, if you look at this profile of this blade, it comes to such an acute point over such a gradual slope. If I do break off that tip, I still feel like I can shape it from the top and just knock it back a little and still have a nicely shaped Warncliffe blade. I look at this knife and the thinness or the tallness from the dorsal side to the pectoral side of this, as if it's a shark, you know what I mean, is very thin in the handle and the blade is broader. And this lends visually to an outstanding handle to blade ratio. Now it already has an outstanding handle to blade ratio, but you make the blade fatter than the handle itself. Visually, it's going to be weighted towards the blade. And I think that's what we see here. The 800 pound gorilla in the room, is the thinness of this handle. I've heard this from people from top to bottom here. It is a very thin knife. For me, it is very comfortable. For me, it kind of curls up in the fingers and really gives a very solid grip. But I could see how if you have giant, meat hooks, it might feel like it's lost in there. But it's a square enough cross section that it's not going to roll in your hands. You know how something is too short like this, top to bottom on the handle, and it's contoured, it's just going to turn in your hand like you're holding something round. But this is squared enough that I haven't had trouble with this. This is an amazing, as you may have figured, cardboard cutter. I went out, I had some, well, I accidentally missed a whole week of garbage right at Thanksgiving. We had all of these boxes and all this garbage, you know. And so I had to break down all these boxes. I went out with my A2D Mercantile Mark I and this. And I used that for a little while, because it's a custom knife, and I'm like, I got to start using, I spent a lot of money on this knife. I need to use it. Can't just sit there and look pretty. And it was good. But then I started using this, and it was like, the parting of the Red Sea. It just saw this knife coming, and the cardboard yawned away from it. Very, very nicely made and ground knife. I really love it, but also I love the action. It's just addictive to play with. It's a thumb stud on bearings. And to me, that's a lot of fun. Flipper is low hanging fruit. I like the bearings and the thumb studs even better. So yeah, the Civivi Hadros, very happy to have this knife. Very, very happy with the blade shape. I was really drawn into it visually, but I love the way it works and how I use it. Now this thing, I went out to dinner with my daughter couple of nights ago. It was just a daddy-daughter night because the others had something going on. We went to her favorite little Japanese restaurant, and she drew something really cool on the back of the placemat. The placemat was immense. We didn't want to take the whole thing. Pulled out the Hadros, did two very light cuts, just scored on either side, and didn't mess up the table, but made just a light enough score. Didn't even press down, just used the weight of the blade, so sharp. Made a light enough score I could tear down the seam, and it was cool. I don't know. It was cool. Cool use of the knife, and didn't destroy anything. It was so sharp, I didn't destroy anything behind it. And well, there it is. Civivi Hadros, worth its money, as you can tell now. All right, next up, I was telling Jim before, my wife and I had a double date this weekend. It was a lot of fun. An old friend of my wife's, he's a cop who lives around here, and his girl, and we got together, and it was a lot of fun. But before we went, I had this brainstorm. I was like, oh, I'm going to make a G10 knife. And so with an hour to spare, and that might seem like a lot of time, but if you've ever, it wasn't. My wife takes a little while to get ready, and she thinks that I take that much time to get ready, which I don't. So I'm like, I'm going to go out and make this G10 knife while she's getting ready. Ran out, and I had made the design. I have a book full of them, and it was this design I wanted to make, a little G10 Pakal knife. I knew that I had pieces of G10 in this size, in the size of that rectangle there. And so I went out to the grinder, pulled it out of the shed, dusted it off because I haven't used it in ages, and I whipped this out in 15 minutes. It was so fun. It was a race against time because I didn't want to get in too much trouble for not getting ready, but actually making a G10 knife in the backyard. And if you look at it, this is a, obviously it's not a knife. It's not going to cut. It's not a cutter. It is for last ditch self-defense. It's a little G10 Pakal knife. And, I was very happy with it, and I still am. And so I'm going to make a couple more. I'm going to see what I can do with this in terms of, refinement and making. This is a 15-minute effort. G10 is not hard to grind. It disappears very quickly. It's not like grinding steel and you have to stand there for a long time and concentrate and stuff. This, you can just zip it out. And, well, there you go. It's your disposable get off me implement. So I'm going to try some more of these and see what it's like. Now, last night, I was carrying it around in this pocket slip. I made this pocket slip a while ago and I never use it. It's for carrying around my 110, my Buck 110. But it sits in the pocket great like this. And then you can just reach out and grab it and then reach out and touch someone. That's so corny. But look at this. It comes straight off the fist. So if you need to use it, someone is hassling you, not hassling, but if you need to use it for whatever reason and you just kind of throw out a back fist, it will make contact with that point. Cool thing about this too, about these G10 knives is that if you do happen to use it, like yesterday, I was poking it into stuff and I dulled the tip. I made a really acute tip originally, dulled it. So all you do is take a something round. This is an old collie stick and tape some sandpaper on it. Find the right angle and you can sharpen that edge, which is, a one-time use edge. And then you can refine the point too. So yeah, I'm just going to experiment around with this a little bit. I think it's a lot of fun. And, I like these Pakal style knives, but they don't have to be. They're just sort of my homemade version of the cold steel plastic knives that you use to hide and stash and stuff. So there you go. G10. What do you think? Let me know. I am curious. That's the DeMarco fruit knife in G10 right here for self-defense. All right. Well, so I showed a couple of these off earlier, but I want to show off some hollow ground knives. To me, the hollow grind is appealing in all ways. First of all, it's very thin behind the edge, and for the kind of cutting that I do, which is light, it's ideal. It's very thin, very easy to cut with, and is not focused on hard use. It is not something that needs to be wedge-like because you're going to do something rough with it. To me, the hollow ground blade is evocative of the straight razor, which was one of the first blades I fell in love with as a kid because my grandfather used one. And so let's get into it. Let's take a look at some of these hollow ground blades. Another great thing about the hollow ground blade, and you'll see this with the Chris Reeve knives, is that you can sharpen them, until that wedge, you can sharpen them kind of indefinitely. All right, so let's take a look at this first one. I'm going to get this one. There are a couple of customs in here, two customs and one kind of custom grind, but I want to show them off anyway. Sometimes people don't like to see things that they can't themselves get. You can get this. This is the Hogtooth knife I was just showing. And I won't regale you again with that story, but as I mentioned, the hollow grind and the super high edge on this really saved the day with the kindling. And you have a good, with this hollow grind and with the sharpening choil, you have a good eighth of an inch you could sharpen up before you would have to extend that choil up. I mean, if you were going to be using this your whole life hard all the time, this is 154 cm. So eventually you would have to back up the sharpening choil a little bit and you would have a more oblique edge, but you could keep going with this. And, that hollow grind just made it super sharp and pleasant, to work with. You know, you have something that's very thin behind the edge and you're pushing through something. You want it to go through easily. You don't want to have to apply too much force, because then you have to stop that force at a certain point and it becomes harder to control. All right. Next up are my Chris Reeve knives. I have two of them. I'll just show them both together. The Sebenza 21 and the Umnumzahn. Two beautifully hollow ground knives here. Let's look at the Sebenza. This really does show off the concept I was just discussing. Also a Jared Neve edge, by the way. But look at the base of the blade here. And this effectively is a sharpening choil here. And look at the plunge grind is all the way back behind the front of the frame. So essentially, and then you have this hollow that's quite deep and starts right about halfway down the blade here. Well, I mean, it starts here, but it gets thin, kind of right in line with this pivot. So if this were your only knife and you used it all the time for your whole life, or, you know, maybe even less, you could keep sharpening up that blade until you hit basically here, where the blade meets the handle. Now, hopefully, this isn't your own your only knife, and hopefully, you don't have to reduce it by that much over time. But you could technically. I had this knife. This is a classic and one of my favorites. And I had it, and it was not. I just, for some reason, this is S35EN. Just could not get a sharp edge on it. I mean, it was sharp. It was reasonably sharp, but I wanted it crazy sharp. And so I didn't send it to Mike Emler, crazy sharp. I sent it to Jared Neve, and he put that beautiful mirror polish on it. So now it is really living its full, its best Sebenza life. And as a super sharp hollow ground blade. Also, here is the Umnumzahn. This too is hollow ground. Feels less deep to me, but still substantial. And again, you have some room here, less room, I think, to sharpen upward, because you're dealing with a secondary edge up here. And that would take some doing, I think. Very thin down here by the time you get to the edge. So just a great cutter. And this is also S35EN. This one is interesting because it's got that ceramic ball that acts as both the detent and the lock bar interface. So the action on this is very, very, very smooth, but certainly not drop shutty at all. That's not the point. This is more of that hydraulic thing. And it has a great sound. I'm going to close it, and I want you to hear this detent when it closes. Oh, so nice. All right. So the Chris Reeve knives employing regularly hollow grinds to great effect. Next one that employs a hollow grind to great effect is the Yojimbo. This is the Spyderco Yojimbo 2. Jeez, this is like an advertisement for Neve's knives, but I dropped this one on the tip too. He rescued this one. He's excellent at that. I highly recommend his services. Also, I highly recommend you don't drop your knives on concrete, but if you can't avoid that, send it to Jared. All right. So this is 20 CV. This was a DLT exclusive a few years back. And I think they have one now also with CPM 20 CV, but it's coated black and it has the tan handle. Is that right? Is that DLT? I think so. They do so many cool exclusives. This knife, one of my favorites, one of my absolute favorite designs, designed by Michael Janich, who's been on the show a bunch of times, a world-renowned expert in self-defense, shooting, shooting, using a knife for self-defense, and integrating a knife into your self-defense strategy with Marshall Blade Concepts. That's his company and his martial art that he's created. He designed this for use like this with the thumb all the way up on the blade. So the ergonomics are outstanding. And then the, this hollow grind is deep. It is like a straight razor, very deep and extremely sharp on the edge and very, very pointy. No doubt this would be a very effective self-defense tool and utility tool because this is an outstanding utility knife. But again, be careful with that tip. This would be excellent if this were a flat grind as well, but it would be wedgy. It would be a little bit wedgy. Wedgy. It's funny to say wedgy. It would be wedge-like, and they would probably have to grind much higher up the blade to get it effectively thin there. Otherwise, like I said, it would be more like a wedge. So that hollow grind saves the day in this case and really makes this thing a really effective tool. It's got a quite robust blade stock thickness here, and yet it is a slicey, nasty, thin, sharp edge there. And that's thanks to the hollow grind. All right. If you don't have a Yojimbo, I highly recommend you get one in your collection if it has any appeal, because it's not just a weapon. It is, like I said, look at it. It looks like a big utility knife. It is a great, great tool and also fun to play with because it's got the compression lock right here. One of my few compression locks. And yeah, it is fun to play with. All right. Next up is the Hinderer XM18 Spanto. That's not hollow ground, you say? No, but I had this one hollow ground by Josh at Razor Edge Cutlery. He was on the podcast early on. You should check that out. Interesting guy. But he is one hell of a grinder. He took this, quite wedge-like Hinderer, Spanto, which was sharp and which I could get reasonably sharp, but he thinly hollow ground this and did such a beautiful job. This is my sharpest knife, I think. I think this is probably my sharpest, absolute most sharp knife. As you can see, it's got sort of a satin from the belt on that hollow grind. And then right up front, he did the Spanto tip as a flat grind, as it should be, for robustness in puncturing and thrusting and that kind of thing. This is how the Spanto should be, I think. I really do. I wish Hinderer knives would hollow grind their blades, or at least get them a little bit thinner. And I know they have the thinner models. I haven't checked those out, but I'm not sure if that translates into the grind. But this is the perfect state for the Spanto, in my opinion. And you're not sacrificing strength. It is still a strong, you know, this S35VN, and it is backed up by a thick spine. But to have that straight razor type edge. Look at that. It's just so beautiful. And it just cuts so well. So no, you cannot go out and get this unless you have someone else do it. BGM Knives also does great regrinds on everything, but I've seen him do some awesome, regrinds on Hinderers, John Miller of, BGM Knives. Check him out on Instagram if you want to get something hollow ground, or check out Razor Edge Knives, though I'm not sure if they're still doing that kind of work, or if they're full-time making knives. So check them both out. Next up is one that you see me talk about a lot, and I feel like I've talked about it recently quite a bit, because the question came up, what is your grail knife? When I was on the Knife Nuts Friendsgiving, that was one of the questions, and my thought was this. This is the Boker version of it, but a Charles Marlowe Squail is my grail knife. So if this is the Boker reproduction, and they did an awesome job collaborating with Charles Marlowe to make this beautiful knife. That's a full 4-inch blade, one of the most gorgeous. Look, it's so reflective, it's kind of hard to even see on this camera, but just such an incredible shape to that blade. And then so broad. This is like an inch and a... That's like an inch and a quarter at the very tip of this... belly here to the spine, and it is hollow ground to nothing. It is so thin. So you take that thin hollow grind, you add that recurve. This thing is a cutting, slicing monster. Slashing too, if you had to, because of that recurve. This knife also would be fine with a flat ground blade, but in the hollow grind, it really allows it to express its you know, maximum A, cuttiness, and maximum B, beauty. You're like, Bob, beauty, what does beauty have to do with it? We're talking about blade geometry here, sort of, with the hollow grind. What does looks have to do with it? Well, I gotta say, I do have an emotional attachment to how things make me feel when I look at them, and this makes me feel good. So I'm glad this sucker is hollow ground, and I'm sticking to that story. But besides that, just a very effective thin blade, and it's VG10. And imagine that, it still works. It's not a super steel. All right, putting it down. And why does it work? Because of that hollow grind and the edge geometry. And probably the heat treat too. All right, so next up are a group of knives. And those are the Civivis. I showed you the Hadros before. But here we have the Keen Natter and then the Asticus. They all have hollow ground blades. These are fully hollow ground, the Hadros and the Asticus, and then the Keen Natter just on this recurve portion. They do it best. I almost said it. I almost said they do it best, but for this strata of knife, I believe they do. They do it best. They have so many of these hollow ground blades that are just so damn thin and so sharp and quick and slicey. I think it's one of their calling cards. Now, a lot of people have begun to notice that Civivis are a lot the same. A lot of the same, but different, you know. And that's a good thing because quality is not the question. Design is the question. So if you have a large body of work that people can choose from, people trust the quality of your workmanship. All they have to do is look at the design, look at the specs, to know if they're going to like the knife. But their real USP is this hollow grind that they can get on these blades, because they make them, no matter what the design, they make them extremely useful and usable knives. This one is awesome. The Civivi Asticus. I highly recommend this knife if you like larger knives, because it's got a pretty large 3.8 inch blade. But it's very thin and very light, and the action is totally addictive. And with that finger choil there, I mean, you can do some serious work with this knife. The Hadros also I like a lot, as I mentioned before. The hollow grind is more aggressive in this one because it comes down to a very thin edge, but it has less room to do so. And then on this is also very sharp, the Keen Natter. And then you have that flat grind. So I'm looking forward to getting more Civivis. I think the hollow grind is what keeps bringing me back. The hollow grind and the action. And they do have some pretty cool designs. So, there they are. I do have a, Cogent on the way, the button lock, and that will be the, Gentleman Junkie knife giveaway knife this, month. I need to announce that on the next, Thursday Night Knives. The Cogent, the button lock. I cannot wait. It looks so cool. I think they did a great job designing it. All right. I'm just going to leave one Civivi in the lineup here, and then you get the idea with the rest. Okay. Next up is, I mentioned this earlier. This is a custom. This is the last of the things that are custom, and that is the Mark II. This is the attention to detail, the A2D Mark II or Mark I. I'm sorry. Jeez. Mark I. This is one of the early ones. He's been making them now for a few years. This is built like the proverbial tank for sure. And, has some things that I know he's improved, you know, some refinements in the milling and, in the action and such. But this thing, look at how broad this blade is. Let's measure this out. This is over an inch and a half from here to here. From the top to the bottom, and hollow ground, aggressively hollow ground, and gets very thin. Now this was one of his first folders And he did such an incredible job on the hollow grinding on this folder. I think Douglas Esposito has a natural talent with grinding, because I know he started and pretty much out of the gate, he was doing incredible work, first with fixed blades and now with folders. I have one knife that I did not put in here is another knife by Douglas. It's a fighting knife and it's double hollow ground. It's got a hollow grind here and it's a bayonet grind. And that top portion is also hollow. Of course, I had him double edge it because that's what we do here. As you can see, beautiful use of, I think he used a pantograph, actually. This is before he had a mill, I think. Is that possible to do that? Maybe not. But this inlay is really, really nice and perfectly fit. I mean, perfectly fit on both sides. Yep. Attention to detail, Mercantile. I love his work and I really like his hollow grinding. He's got a bunch of tantos that are really nice that are also really deeply hollow ground. I checked out a whole bunch of his work at Blade Show and was sad that I couldn't afford it. But that would be, you know, if I were to go to Blade Show and buy an A2D knife, that would probably be about all I would get. All right, three more here. This next one is one that was a gift from Mr. Filato, a loyal listener and patron. And when he sent me his Winkler knives to check out, he sent this in the box. And it was around my birthday time. And he said, happy birthday. Keep the proponent. Because he had heard me on the podcast with Josiah DeMille of Millet Knives talking about this and how I always regretted that I missed this. This is a drop knife designed by Schwartz, TJ Schwartz, and produced by Millet. And I missed the drops of this and kind of always regretted it because I think it's really, really, really nice on the eyes. But also I figured it would be akin to the perfect size Griptilian. And it kind of is. But I like this much more than a Griptilian, personally. I like the weighting, actually, the weight of it. But the real star of the show here is this hollow grind. Now, this is, I remember when Millet got the capability to CNC hollow grind, because it was around the time that I reached out to them and I wanted to find out what it would be like for your average Joe, like myself, to have one of my fixed blade designs made by them. And we had some conversations and some email conversations and I kind of let it drop because I wasn't ready to financially to do such a thing. But I do remember Josiah saying, we just got hollow grind capabilities on our CNC mills. And, I didn't know that that was a thing. I mean, I didn't know that that was something special, but it was, I remember it was a big deal. And so a lot of the Millet knives feature these very thin behind the edge hollow grinds. And this is one of them. This Perpetua is amazing. I mean, the blade here is really, really an amazing blade because, like I keep saying, it's a very thin edge and hollow ground, but you get to the tip where you're going to be, the shape of this is just begging for utility cuts, for pull cuts, for this kind of thing. But you get to the tip and you've got full robust, I use that word too much. You've got full blade stock behind the edge. You've got this little distal taper that will naturally appear, but you've got a whole bunch of beef behind this. So this is one that I feel comfortable dropping on its tip. No, I'm just kidding. But if it did, I have a feeling it would fare much better than, say, the Yojimbo. So if you can check this out, they have, I think that this drop is no longer drop. I'm not even sure what's up with drop. They're not producing too many knives anymore, I don't think. And I think they're headed in a different direction, but they really hit some really, I don't know, golden combos with the collaborations they put together. So hopefully they're still in the game. All right. So that's the Millet Perpetua designed by TJ Schwartz and, distributed by Drop, formerly known as Mass Drop. All right. Second to last is, I mean, this company really does it right. Riot. Look at this. This is the K2. First of all, gorgeously milled handle and bronzed, anodized. Reminds me of a dragon. Beautiful backspacer, but the star of the show here. Oh, is this gorgeous tanto blade. I know some people don't like machine satin, but I think that this is exquisite machine satin. Very, very aggressive hollow grind. Looks like such a menacing knife to me with that hollow grind. Looking kind of like a straight razor, but then you have that upswept flat ground tip and that swedge. I just can't see myself ever getting rid of this knife. Now, I don't carry it that often, but I feel like I could get a nice little chunk of change for it if I were to sell it. But I think it is so perfectly done, not only in the design, but in that grind and in the execution of it, that, and then of course this handle and the way it feels. I don't think I'm ever going to get rid of this knife. And, well, there it is. One little thing about it is that I noticed they kind of flubbed right here at the sharpening choil with the edge. Got a little bit wide and dull right here. And I think that is just, just on this specimen, it's like the guy who was sharpening it got a phone call right when he got there and he forgot to like make that edge right by the choil totally sharp. But this is also one of the best actions on a knife that I have. Just a great, great knife. Okay, last but certainly not least is the Cold Steel AD10. Say, Bob, that's not a hollow ground knife. The first first drop out of the gate with this was hollow ground, and I happened to get in on it, and they made a whole bunch of knives and they hollow ground them. But at the same time they came out with the AD15, and the AD15 was flat ground. And after this first drop, they brought the AD10 to a flat grind, which I'm sure is, incredible. I'm sure it's a very effective tool. And one could argue because it's flat ground, it's going to be more capable of hard use, more capable of lateral kind of stuff. And, because it's not so thin right here, it's less likely to chip or break in super hard use. Okay, I guess. But, if you're using it like that, you're probably not using the right tool anyway. I'm just glad I got this hollow ground one. I know that they are out there. I know you can find them on the secondary market, but the original batch of all these, I'm sure, was swept up. But I have seen these on Blade Forums. And people will specify that it's the hollow ground version. Might be worth your while if you're looking for an AD10 to ask. All right, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my hollow grind ground EDC knives. I really dig the hollow grind. I don't have to continue to tell you why, but I was kind of shocked to find that so many of what I have is not hollow ground. I kind of thought I had more, but I don't. All right, so let's rattle these off, and then I'll let you go. We got the EDC Tanto from Hogtooth Knives. We got the Chris Reed knives, Sebenza 21 and the Umnum Zan. We've got the Yojimbo 2 by Spyderco. We've got my special reground hinderer here, the Boker Squale, the Civivi knives in general, the A2D Mercantile Mark 1, the Perpetua from Drop and Millet. We got the K2 from Riat and the AD10 from Cold Steel. And our good friend, Andrew Demko. Hollow ground, flat ground, what's your preference? Let me know. Is it Scandi ground? Do you prefer that? Let me know in the comments, and leave a like while you're at it. All right, that does it for this edition of the Knife Junkie Podcast. Please be sure to check out Sunday's interview show. And of course, tomorrow night at 10 p.m. is our live stream, Thursday Night Knives. Also, you can download us on all the podcast apps out there. And listen to the golden tones of the Knife Junkie Podcast when you can't watch. All right, for Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I am Bob DeMarco saying until next time, Don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487. And you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.